I want to testify before I start preaching. I was going to testify about this Sunday night, but we didn't have testimony, so I'll testify about it tonight. I'm thankful for what the Lord does in our families. And you never know what the Lord's doing in people's heart and life and in their family's life until they testify about it. And if they don't testify about it, you don't know. But so I want to testify. Here a while back we had the Easter play, and my Josiah is about a year younger than Brother Keplinger's, Sister Brooks' Josiah. But from time to time, Brother Keplinger would be talking to me, and he'd tell me about things, how his Josiah would, be with him when he was praying, or come and ask questions and different things. And I'd think, well, man, mine's not doing that. He's not, and I'm thinking, and then it dawned on me, okay, well, mine's a little younger still, and Brother Keplinger, sometimes I'd ask, well, has he been doing that for a while? No, he's kind of just starting. But I'd have to remind myself, Brother Prysock, I'd think, well, man, am I not doing something right? Am I, what is he doing that's clicking with his kid? Well, we had the Easter play, and, my Josiah, he goes to Sunday school. He goes to Children's Church, Kids for Christ. We had devotions at home, and we've got Christian videos that tell about Bible stories. But through all that, he's never really, just had a big, big interest in the things of God, asking questions and stuff. In fact, we've even put up some of the movies that weren't, Bible stories or something. They weren't bad movies, but we've even put some of those up because he was getting caught up in, trying to be Peter Pan or something like that, Well, when we had the Easter play, just shortly thereafter, he's begun to ask questions. And to the point where, don't misunderstand me, but, we've explained this, and he keeps on. And I'm not griping, I'm not complaining, understand what I'm saying. You know how it is, sometimes your kid just keeps asking the same thing. I mean, you'll sit there and explain it right then, and they'll ask you again, But he's begun to ask about Jesus on the cross. I mean, him and Faith have played nailing Jesus to the cross. And he was like, is that wrong? I said, well, I said, that's, not really bad. I said, it ain't not necessarily the thing you want them to be playing. I'd rather be playing David and Goliath maybe than having Jesus nailed to the cross. But I think the Lord, though, he's really begun to ask questions. And just the other night in church, we were sitting over there, and he looked up here at one of these chandeliers, I guess. And is that the cross that Jesus was nailed to? I just started laughing, and I said, no. I said, but it was a cross like that. And, his heart is beginning to open up, and he's beginning to understand truly what Jesus has done for us. And I thank the Lord for that. Praise God. All right, I'm going to want to preach to us tonight. Again, I'm going to read my text here a little bit later. I'm going to just jump right in here and read my text here in a few moments. But I'm going to preach on a thought tonight, the unruly evil, the unruly evil. And tonight I want to start off by asking you, is there an unruly evil in your life? Is there an unruly evil in your life? Is there some part of your life that is an unruly evil? There is not a doubt in my mind, if we was to stop and let you answer, that we'd get different opinions. Some people would say yes. Some people would say, well, no, I don't think so. Some people, no doubt, would say, well, certainly. Some people probably already knows exactly where I'm going with this just by simply me saying that very thing. But nevertheless, others might say that they're just not quite sure. But I want to tell you that there is an unruly evil in each and every one of our lives. There's no questions asked. There is an unruly evil that is in and a part of our life. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian. If you're a living human being, there is an unruly evil that you have abiding with you. Yes, even after you've become a Christian, there is an unruly evil that still is a part of you. And you think, Brother Armstrong, I don't understand. Well, just bear with me, and you will here just before long. We all have an unruly evil within us. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. It doesn't matter if we realize it or not. It is a part of our everyday body. You must begin to think well, what, you know, as we're sitting here, you may be beginning to think, well, what on earth could it be? What could it be? And I put down a few things that, you know, very well could classify into the category. I mean, it could be possibly our feet. You know, our feet can take us to some pretty bad places if we're not careful. They can begin to lead us and take us into places that, you know we ought not to be. Places that we know that we ought not to go. But if we're not careful, we let our feet take us to those type of places. I mean, you know, it's just like a kid, you know, we go outside and go get ready to get in the car. And, you know, every once in a while, Faith or Josiah, one of them will try to take off running out into the road or out into a parking lot, out amongst the cars at Walmart or something like that. It takes their feet or taking them to places they ought not to be. But that's not the unruly evil that I'm talking about. You may think, well, what about our hands? In Colossians 2 and 21, it says, touch not, taste not, handle not. That very well could be an unruly evil within our heart and life. You know, there's a lot of things that your hands could partake of. They could pick up. They could entertain. But that's not it either. What about our eyes? What about our eyes? The Bible says in Matthew 5 and 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery within his heart. That's what it says. That's a pretty serious thing there. But it's not even talking about our eyes. It's not, that is not the unruly thing there. And it, these things could be an unruly thing. They can be something within us. It could be talking about our ears, but it's not. I mean, there's things that you could listen to. There's things that you could allow to enter in through your ears, just like you could allow things to enter in through your eyes that will affect the way you think, that will affect the way you hear and see things and cause evil and cause that unruly evil. But none of those things there that I've just mentioned is what we're talking about tonight. Even though some of them could very well fit into that category, that's not what we're talking about. I want you to turn over to the book of James, chapter 3 with me. James chapter 3 and verse 7. There's a lot of different ways you can stand now for the reading. There's a lot of different ways you could look at this unruly evil. Those things fit into that category, but there is one thing that it truly is. In James chapter 3, I'm not going to read. I'd encourage you to start reading the verse 1 whenever you get home, maybe tonight before you go to bed, and study on this a little bit more, because I'm not going to cover all that there is to cover. But in verse 7 it says, for every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. In verse 8 it says, but the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But the tongue no man can tame, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It goes on in verse 10, it says, out of some mouths proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth not the foundation send forth at the same place? Doth not a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to come by and move in our hearts and lives. Meet with us in these altars in a few moments when we come together and to pray. And we ask you to have your way in our hearts and lives. Lord, help us to receive what you have for us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Talking about the unruly evil tonight. Now, I'm not going to talk about verse 10 and 11. That's something that I was really wanting to tie in. I talked to the youth actually Saturday night about that very thing, in a conversation. And, you know, what comes out of the fountain is a mixture of things. And a lot of people's lives and a lot of Christian lives, it's that very thing. And I guess in a sense we're going to touch on it a little bit, but not the way that you'd probably be thinking. But I want to talk here from mainly verse number 8, where it says, "The tongue can no man tame, and it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Looking back at verse 7, though, I want you to think about what it's verse 7 is saying. It says, "Every kind of beast, bird, serpent, and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind." Think about that. You know, if you've ever been to the zoo, to a petting zoo, to a nature center, to SeaWorld, all those animals, they've been tamed to some degree. Now, we've all heard the stories of dude at the zoo be doing something wrong, you know, do something out of the ordinary, and, you know, the lion attack him or something. But those things have been tamed. Those things have been, you know, been taught how they're supposed to act. That they're not as wild as the other animals out in the wild. But they've been tamed, and they've been tamed by man. But the Word of God says that our tongue is an unruly evil, and it's full of deadly poison, and it cannot be tamed. There's no cunning, persuasion, influence that has ever been able to silence it. Talking about our tongue. The only thing that can bring it under subjection is the grace of God, or extraction, or simple death. Talking about an unruly evil. Talking about, if there's 50 of us here, there's 50 unruly evils right here in this sanctuary. Because it doesn't say when you become a Christian that it goes away, that you don't have that unruly evil anymore. No, it says what it does say. It says that no man can tame this unruly evil. No man can tame this unruly evil. And there's a lot of folks that, and there's a lot of us from time to time when it rears its ugly head, what do we try to do? We try to tame it within ourselves, but we cannot do it. It's an evil that cannot be restrained. It cannot be brought under any kind of subjection. It cannot be brought under any kind of government. It breaks all bounds and boundaries. Talking about that unruly tongue. It's pretty crazy when you think how that you go to SeaWorld. Anybody ever been to SeaWorld? You know, it's pretty crazy how they can bring Shamu or whoever it is, wherever you go. Maybe they're all Shamu, I don't know. But how they bring that big old whale up there, or bring those dolphins or whatever all they have, and they'll just get up there and they'll feed them right there. They'll even let you come up there and feed them sometimes. You know, and they'll get up there and they'll ride on them. They'll you know, just do all kinds of stunt and tricks. And you never hear hardly virtually ever of somebody getting hurt because it's been tamed. And it's hard to imagine that you could tame something wild like that, or some lion in the zoo, or something of that nature. And you know, that we can tame that very thing, but yet we can't tame our own tongue. I want to talk about its power. Its power. And that power that it has is the reason why it can't be tamed. There's a lot of people in a lot of churches that don't realize the power that they have within their own tongue. Do we really realize the power that we hold? Do we realize the stronghold that it gets a hold of us? There are humans that they have not tamed it, that it's that their tongue is running wild. It's running wild like a wildfire in a forest. They have no control of it. What does that lead to? The power that they don't have, it leads to destruction. That power leads to something that they really don't want to happen, whether it be in their home, whether it be in their family, with friends, with their spouse, with the people that they love. You know, the people don't even realize the power that it has, but you know what? The power that it has, it has destroyed churches. It has destroyed individuals because of the power that little thing has. Full of evil. I've been to churches, and I've even had the pleasure of meeting people from time to time. And probably you have too, that hadn't tamed that tongue. You ever ran into those people? I mean, it's, you know, you always like, or maybe you don't always, I guess, but, you know, you'd much rather hear about those people than have to meet them. But we've all been there, whether it's at our home church or whether it's down the street or whether it's somewhere when we're visiting. We've ran into people within even our church that has not got the thing under control. Why? Because we're virtually trying to do it within ourselves. And it's going to take much more power than what we have, church. I mean, that little tongue has more power than your entire body does. It has overtaken your body. And it will continually overtake your body if you're not careful. Because it has such power. Most people, as I said, do not realize the power that it has. They don't realize that it's that big or of a problem until it is too late. They don't realize such power. They don't realize how big of a problem it could cause or what problem it will cause until it is too late and the world is falling apart. All due to the power that is within our tongue. Much power. There's much power within our tongue, and it has the power to inflict pain. It has the power to inflict pain in people's lives. Secondly, it's poison. I want to talk about its poison. If you remember in our text, it said that it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We're talking about a tongue that's within us that, you know, it's really hard to think about sometimes. It's really hard to imagine, you know, the power that's within our own body. That the power that we have, that I'm talking with right now, you know, the way I talk right now, and the way I do it in, and the manner I do it in, can change the whole course of this sermon. I can say everything word for word, but just simply how I say it. The tone, the actions, those things can change how it's received, how it's perceived. But the tongue, it holds poison as well as it holds power. James here, he's referring the tongue as a serpent. And James has brought a thing into view. I believe he could see maybe the slander, the backbiter, the whisperer, those that's going around causing disunity, if you could say. He can see them and he's describing them and portraying them as somebody, as something full of poison to the likeness of a rattlesnake or a cottonmouth or a copperhead snake. And those are no more dangerous to life than what these other things are to the peace and reputation of mankind. You know, I mean, you think about the poison that you've let out of your mouth from time to time. You think about what it did. You think about how it hurt. You think of how and what it left, what kind of an impression it may have left on someone's life. You know, I've never been bit by a snake. We've got all kinds of snakes back in Texas. Have been, had some in Missouri, and we've been camping, and I've walked right up on a rattler before. I don't know if I stepped on it, if I kicked it, or kicked a rock right beside it, but that thing took off and started rattling. It wasn't a fun experience. I was so scared and nervous, I didn't know if I'd been bit or what had happened to me. But you know that it was full of deadly poison, and if it would have hit me, I would have had to do something about it. You know, just our tongue is full of the same kind of poison. But you know, there's no warning signs usually for people. It just gets unleashed. That poison just starts coming out before long. It just starts opening up itself. And you know, I mean, you could say at times, yeah, well, somebody asked for it, or, you know, they deserved what I said. But no, they really don't. As Christians, I'm talking about, we ought to bring our body under subjection. We ought to have the Lord's help within our lives and know how to handle this situation. And that's why I'm talking about it tonight, is because, well, frankly, because the Lord spoke to me and asked me to preach about this. As I said, I preached a little bit about it on Saturday night to the youth, but it wasn't this message at all. It's another message. So I feel like the Lord's wanting to help somebody and get you to realize and see that the power and the poison that you have within your body in such a little thing. The poison that comes out of man's mouth is highly deadly. Number of men and women and even little children have been known to lose their life due to the words of men and women. He said, Brother Armstrong, you would tell me people have died. Yeah, I'm going to tell you people have died. Because I want you to understand, churches, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the tongues of men and women that are born-again Christians, Spirit-filled Christians that are on their way to heaven. If you was to ask them 100 times, they'd tell you every time that I'm saved on my way to heaven. No questions asked. But there's some of the same people that they let this evil thing rear its ugly head. And there's a lot of times where it's reared its ugly head and it's caused people to die. No one's probably killed over in the physical. There's a lot that's died spiritually. I mean, there's a lot of people that if the truth be known, if we could really roll back the curtain and look and see, there's people here that are not here today because of some kind of evil that's come out of somebody's mouth where they left. And they just didn't leave and go down the road to another church where people have totally lost out with God because of the carelessness of other Christians. Why? Because they didn't realize the power and the poison that they held within. We say things to each other without ever giving a second thought. Things that can never be taken back. We don't just do this to people that we don't like. You know, a lot of times you think, well, you know, that's someone I don't like. You know, today I went and grabbed something real quick for lunch and went to a fast food place and got something fried. There was my first mistake. When I pulled up there, Brother Cervantes, it was Long John Silver's. I thought, this don't even sound good. But you know what? Nothing else sounded any better, so I ordered it. And it was I don't know what the person did back there, but it was the worst taste in Long John Silver's I'd ever had, I think. I think they had taken it and refried it. I think it's what they had done. Well, I went and parked somewhere. I was eating it in the shade and enjoying the little bit of breeze that was outside, the weather. And the more I ate it, the more frustrated I got, Brother Prysock. Just took a few bites and I thought, this is a terrible. I mean, I didn't even want to end. I thought, you know, I'll just go back there and ask them for my money back. And the more I thought about it, Brother Swantes, I thought, you know, I really ought to. But I thought, no, I'm not going to do that because I think I'd have to confess. Because I think I'd probably say something to him. Tell him how bad it was. And there's nothing wrong with telling somebody, hey, you know, this ain't too good today. You know, I don't know what if y'all refried it or what. But you know how you get sometimes you ain't right in the right spirit when you go do something. And you just got to keep your mouth shut. And that's where I was. And that's what I'm talking about. And you know, there's a lot of times though we fly off the handle. We say things and we don't give it a second thought. And then after we say it, you know what we do? We think, well, you know, everything will be all right. It'll be okay. I'll tell you something that I'm ashamed of, very ashamed of, that I did. And if I could find that person today and make things right, I would. But me and a few friends, or it may have just been one friend, it was April Fool's Day, or night, or I don't know what, I think it was at night by this time. But we pulled up in front of a drive-thru window, and there was a girl there, and she just wasn't the nicest looking girl. And, you know, thinking back on it, you could look at her and tell that she probably had been made fun of all her life. And so it was April Fool's. Obviously, I wasn't very spiritual. But we said, well, you sure are pretty. And I mean, you could just tell, man, she lit up, Brother Prysock. It really made her night. Well, thank you. And we said April Fool's and drove off after we got our stuff. That's bothered me from the day I've done that till now. Maybe not the very day. But you know what? Said something without ever giving it another thought. Nothing I can go and do about it now. I couldn't find that person if my life probably depended on it. But you know what? I flew off the handle, said something not thinking about what it would do. But no doubt it probably brought that girl to tears. Talking about deadly poison. You know, you think about it, you know, there's people that's gone and committed suicide for less stuff than that very thing right there. God forbid she did that, but you know, I'm just a firm believer that we're going to give an account, just like the Bible says, for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. God forbid that that girl would have left and killed herself, and I'm going to have to stand before God for something like that I said. But church, I'm talking about, we have power and poison that flow out of our mouth on a daily basis if we're not careful. We don't just say this to people that we don't know or don't like. But we say it sometimes to our friends, to our family members. Not just extended family, but to our own parents. We say things to our kids. We say things to our spouses. Let me ask you, what does that do? What position do they wind up being in? How does that lead them when it's all said and done? Are they well off? When they've been filled with poison, when you've degraded them, when you've ran them down, when you've criticized them, when you've yelled and screamed and hollered at them, I mean, and we then turn and say that we're a Christian or that, you know, that Jesus loves them, and you know, how do they really perceive that? Do they really receive what we're saying then? I'm talking about the poison that flows out. Many church people do the very same thing. Many church people do that to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But then we try to leave it and act like everything's all right. I told the youth the other night, I said, the Bible talks about this thing here. And I didn't even put this in my notes here. But it talks about going to somebody if you have odd against them. Making things right. And there's a lot of people that, there's a lot of making right that needs to be done. There's a lot of apology that needs to be done. And I even went as far and told the young people, I said, you know, there's a lot of things that a lot of people sometimes they go and they try to apologize and they say too much. Now, and I'm going to give the same example I gave to the youth. You know, if there's a guy and he has a problem with lust and he's been lusting after this girl over here, you know, he needs to make that and pray that thing through and get deliverance with God. But he does not need to go over there and tell that girl, hey, you know, I've had a problem with lust, and I just want you to know that I'm sorry, but I've been lusting after you. That's not the thing to do. And that's what a lot of people get caught up in. They want to go and do that over some gross, perverse thing like that, but yet when they've really wronged their brother and sister in the Lord, when they won't even shake their hand hardly, won't even talk to them or listen to them talk or whatever reason, there's some odd there. And it doesn't matter the poison, whether it came from this one or it came from that one. The Bible says if you have odd against them, you need to go to them. Regardless of the fault, regardless of who's at fault. You know, and we like to preach that and mention that about the church problems. But that applies to us at home. I mean, there's been times where I haven't always talked. I mean, I've been married for 5 years. I just didn't wake up yesterday. But there's been times where I didn't talk just right to my wife, or I had to make things right, Brother McClyman. It wasn't just the first time, and I'm sure it won't be the last time. But it's not something that I'm going to do every day. And if it's something we do every day, we need to get prayed through. Talking about the poison that comes out. When we say things, there's things that you'll never, that comes out of your mouth, there will be things that comes out of your mouth that you'll never ever be able to take back. I mean, if I could go and find that young lady, if I could go find her, Patrick, I could still not take back the words that I said to her. What's been said is said. That poison is already out. It's already brought harm, destruction to that very being. The power and evil that comes from the tongue is just as unbelievable as the devastation from a storm. I'm talking about the power and the evil that comes from our tongue. It is just as unbelievable as the destruction from a storm. How many have seen the destruction from these tornadoes that's just been here recently in Joplin and Arkansas and wherever else? I mean, if you've seen the ones in Joplin, buddy, I mean, I've been right down there where it is. I mean, it's unbelievable. You don't even recognize some of the places that we've been. But you know what? I mean, it left devastation. It left people dead. It left people without homes, without businesses. It brought just a total disaster to those people there in those communities. But you know what? The same kind of destruction, the same kind of devastation by our evil speaking and the same filth and garbage that comes out of our mouth leaves the same kind of devastation spiritually within the people that we provoke it on. We need to stop and think about the devastation that we've left. We need to stop and think about the devastation that we've left upon our family, upon our friends, upon our church, upon our town. I mean, you think about all the things that a tornado affects within people. It don't just affect one individual. That tornado affected thousands upon thousands of people. Do you realize it actually affected everybody in that town because the Academy Sports is no longer there? They can't go to it. You say, well, that ain't that big of a deal. No, it ain't really that big of a deal. They can go to some other small sports store. But what about Walmart? What about Home Depot? What about all these other things that people, you know, they use in their everyday life? It's not there anymore. These rinky-dink businesses that people don't even know about, that maybe that was their livelihood, that they don't have anymore. Totally gone. What about it, how it does us spiritually? I believe if we're not careful, the evil that we speak, the poison that comes out, I believe upon our family, upon our friends, I believe it whittles away at them. It whittles away. A guy by the name of Lloyd Corey said this. He said, "What people say about us is never quite true, never quite false. They always miss the bullseye, but rarely fail to hit the target." You think about that. What people say about us is never quite true, it's never quite false. They always miss the bullseye, but rarely fail to hit the target. Thirdly, there's potential though. Even in this evil, deadly thing, there's potential. The potential goes both ways though. In Proverbs 15:1 it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." A soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stir up anger. So we can see that there's potential for it to turn good, or there's potential for it to turn bad. I mean, whenever someone gets on your case, whenever somebody, your spouse starts talking to you the wrong way, or something happens, whatever the case may be, or your kids, I mean, you have the potential to take it this way or that way. You can either make it turn out good, or you can make it turn out bad. But it's up to you as the individual that's going to talk back how it's going to be. It can either be a soft answer that does away, or it can be some more grievous words as it stirs it up. And I'll tell you, most people stir the pot up. Now, I'll be honest, if you listen real close, most church people, even if they're not careful, they stir the pot up. The tongue has the potential to be the very good thing, to be a very good thing, or it can be left to itself and used as deadly poison. Let me ask you, how is yours going to be used? How is yours going to be used tonight after church? How is it going to be used tomorrow? How is it going to be used on the job? The tongue has the power to heal, and it has the power to wound. I said the tongue has the power to heal, or it has the power to wound somebody. The tongue is a very unique part of the body. It holds the keys to love and joy and peace and happiness within the home. I'm talking about the tongue, the way you respond, the way you respond to your family, it holds love and joy, peace and happiness, because it only takes one wrong word and there goes the peace out of the home. There goes the love out of the home. Oh yeah, we can go back and say, I'm sorry and I love you. But how many times have you gone back and you said that to your spouse or your children or to whoever that you had wronged, and you could tell that they accepted it, but they wasn't ready to. You know, my wife has asked me before, Brother Prysock, what took you so long to come and apologize? Not trying to keep the argument going, because she wanted to understand. I said, because I wasn't ready to apologize. I wasn't ready to. I wasn't going to come say, hey, I'm sorry, and I'm young. Maybe I'm wrong. But I wasn't going to go up and lie and say, hey, I'm sorry that I... And I probably was sorry that it happened. But, you know, if someone made you mad, you ain't always over that. You're not always... You may still be frustrated is what I'm trying to get at. It don't take much to destroy the love and the joy, the happiness and the peace that you have in your home. It can be gone in just an instant, in just a matter of moments. What you spend hours, days, moments, lifetimes, it can all be destroyed just like that, and just in a matter of minutes. You know, people do not intend on having arguments, fights. They don't intend on getting separated. They don't intend on getting divorced. But you know, it all comes from a little part of our body. It all comes from our tongue. That's all it takes for it to happen. Because it has such power. But it also has such deadly poison. Brother Prysock, if you can come back. There's people that their homes are split up because they never realize what was in their tongue. They never realized the potential that their tongue had. You know, and it's easy to say, well, you know, I don't have that problem, or I don't have this problem. Me and my wife get along, or, you know, I don't have a problem with people on my job. We can make excuses all day long. And we can try to justify it all day long. We can try to figure out a way where it don't fit us. But the fact of the matter is it's a part of us, whether we like it or not. Luke 6:20 says this. It says, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. That may fit more on the job. It may fit more at your house. It may fit I don't know where. The Bible says to bless them that curse you and to pray for them that despitefully use you. Another verse similar, it says in Romans 12:14, it says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. You know, I could have gone another route. We're talking about, you know, how as Christians we're not supposed to cuss. You know, we're not supposed to tell dirty jokes. Well, let me rephrase that. If you're a Christian, you don't do those things. Not supposed to. I said that wrong. But that's not what the route he wanted me to go, Brother Lance. I feel like the Lord's wanting to help somebody here around these altars. And in Romans 6:13, it says this. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Did you hear what it said though? It said, don't yield your members as instruments as to unrighteousness and unto sin. Don't yield it that way. But yield yourself unto God as instruments of righteousness. And in Psalms 19:14, It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You want the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart to be acceptable? You need to realize that meditation of the heart. You need to think and realize the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm here to tell you, whatever you, as I talked about at the beginning, whatever comes in through these eyes and what you listen to and what you play in your mind, that stuff's going to come out. What's harbored up in the heart, it's eventually going to come out. But if you'll get it, the Lord, and let Him come in and work inside your heart and life and yield yourself as members, He can change that. Psalms 141 and 3, it says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth." I want us to stand. Father, we thank you, Jesus. God, that you've given us a tongue, a mouth, Lord, a body. Lord, it's to please and honor you, Lord. It's to worship you, Lord. God, I ask you to help us, oh God, to search our heart tonight, oh Lord. God, I feel a burden on my heart, Lord, for somebody here tonight. Maybe there's more than one, Lord, that truly needs help from you tonight, Lord. God, I ask you to speak to us, Lord. Help us as we gather in these altars, oh God, to open up, Lord, to commit ourselves to you afresh and anew, oh God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't seen the potential. You haven't seen the power or realized the power that your tongue has. I mean, no doubt you've seen and experienced probably the power that it has. You've seen the effects of the kind of talk that maybe has gone on in your life or maybe in your home's life, your family's life, or whatever the case may be. Or maybe the what you receive, maybe you're the one receiving it. Maybe you're not the one really giving it out. But I'm telling you, the Lord can help you tonight, whichever side you're on. But one thing I want you to realize that I think a lot of people get caught up on is the Bible says clearly, the tongue no man can tame. If you're going to get help, it isn't going to be because you found somebody to help you tame it. It isn't going to be because you figured out a way to tame it. I mean, I've heard of people, they have such a problem with gossiping and different things like that, that they went up to the pastor after a message similar to this or something, and we're not going to do this tonight. For one, we don't even have the anointing oil. It's disappeared. But they've gone up and had the pastor or the preacher anoint their tongue with oil because they had such a problem. Now, you may be to that extreme of a circumstance. I don't know. But what I do know is, that type of person's on the right track because God's the only person that's going to be able to help you with this unruly evil. And I'm not saying that you can't have victory. I'm not saying that you're always going to go around and have a problem with your tongue. No, you can get it, if I can say this without contradicting myself, you can get it under control with the Lord's help. But it's going to still rear its ugly head. If that makes sense. Praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands right here. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, the Lord's speaking to your heart right here before we come to these altars, I want you to ask the Lord to help you when you come to these altars to get victory. I want you to ask the Lord to help you tonight, to open yourself up as we come to these altars. The Lord will give you deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you, Lord. God, we need your help tonight, Lord. Oh, God, we can't do it within ourselves, oh, Lord. Oh, Father, we need Thee, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. All right, won't you come and find a place to pray? Call out upon the Lord, church. And ask Him to help you. Ask Him.